Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm. Have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well, and we have our podcast also there. Noah is a great example of living by faith. He lived in a world that was much like ours today. People were rebelling against God's laws. There was lots of problems, and yet here's Noah, and he had to do something for God, and he really set an example of living by faith, and we can learn from his example. We'll spend some time today in Genesis 6 looking at that history and seeing what we can learn from Noah's example when it comes to faith. We'll start in Genesis 6, and we'll read verses 5 and 6. If you have a Bible handy, it'd be good to get it out. We could go through some of this history together and consider what we can learn from it. Genesis 6 and verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So you can see that it was very much like our day today. Christ said that would be the case. People's hearts were just on evil continually. In verse 6, "And it repented the Eternal that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." When there's a lot of sin and problems, that really bothers God. We can see that here. It grieved him at his heart to see what mankind was doing and knowing how they're hurting themselves by sinning. So the sins on this earth had become so horrible and widespread that God had to do something, and because there was so much suffering. People were hurting themselves, hurting each other. God had to intervene. Verse 7, "And the Eternal said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I have made them." So you can see that God had to intervene. Notice this quote from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. This is Lesson 13. And this is a free Bible course at thetrumpet.com. Please sign up for it if you have not. It says, "Mankind had become so corrupt that the most humane thing God could do was to put the entire human race out of its self-imposed misery, except for one family." So it's important when we consider this history to realize that God wasn't overreacting here or just, you know, angry. He was grieved because of the sins of mankind, and it was the most humane thing to do to stop that, because those sins were hurting people. People were hurting each other, and there were so many problems. There was wickedness, as we read about. People were doing all kinds of terrible things, and God had to stop it because it was so bad. But there was one family that stood out. Notice verse 8. It says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Eternal." Noah, out of all the people on earth, Noah and his family were different. Verse 9, it says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." Noah walked with God. He really did walk according to God's laws. And, you know, think about how challenging it would be for Noah to obey God when the entire world was living contrary to God's laws. Well, that shouldn't be too hard to imagine, right? Because it's the same in this world today. Most people don't think about God's laws at all. They're having problems because of sin and hurting each other and hurting themselves. But most don't really think about God's laws. It was the same in Noah's day. And yet Noah walked with God in faith. He believed what God said, and he listened to God, and he followed him, and he didn't listen to the peer pressure of society. The whole world was going a different direction, and Noah knew that wasn't right, and he had the courage and the faith to obey God and not follow along with society. Notice verses 12 through 17. It says, "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth, and the sin was everywhere." Verse 13, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." The earth was full of violence. People were killing each other, harming each other, and God had to put an end to it. Verse 14, he gives Noah some instruction here about what to do. He said, "Make you an ark of gopher wood. Room shall you make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." Verse 15, "And this is the fashion which you shall make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. So God's giving him some very specific instruction here, not just to make an ark, but how to make it. In verse 16, "A window shall you make to the ark, and in a cubit shall you finish it above, and the door of the ark shall you set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shall you make it." Verse 17, "And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." And so Noah had the faith to believe God and follow his commandments. He was walking with God, right? But then he gets specific instruction here to build this ark, and God even tells him how to build it. So he had to follow those instructions. And Noah did what God told him to do. See, that's a key point. Noah had faith. He didn't just say that he believed God. He acted according to God's instructions. He had living faith. He got busy building an ark, and he built it like God told him to build it. We can look at God's word, and we see instruction in there, and we have to walk according to it. We've got to live according to it. That's living faith. And Noah set an example in doing that. Verse 22, notice it says, "Thus did Noah. According to all that God commanded him, so did he." That's pretty simple to read a sentence like that, but think about what we learned from that. Noah had living faith. He showed his faith by his works. And in his case, he had to build an ark. And he had to build it the way that God told him to build it. And that took some time. It wasn't, you know, a two-week project. It took quite a while to build that ark and build it according to God's instructions. He had to be walking by faith every day and following what God instructed him to do, even though the rest of society, the rest of the world was going completely the opposite direction. He did according to all that God commanded him. That's walking by faith. Noah showed his faith by his works. Again, from the correspondence course, lesson 13, it says, notice that Noah did something. Noah had his part to do before he could receive God's promise of salvation from the flood. Faith and actions, obedience, go hand in hand. We learn a lot from this example. It's not just enough to say we believe God. We've got to do what he says. That's very different than what many religions teach. They often teach that, well, you just have to accept Christ or, you know, believe him to some extent or believe in him, and that's good enough. But no, that wasn't good enough for Noah. Noah couldn't just say, oh, I believe that that God's right and that there should be an ark built. I believe that. He had to build it. He had to follow the instruction. He had his part. And that's true for us, too. We've got our part, which is to do what God says. Notice Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. Quite a few examples there of people that really displayed incredible faith, believing God, acting according to his word. And it talks about Noah. And it talks about this example. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. It says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet," see, that's a key point as well. You know, Noah didn't see the flood yet. He was just told that it would come, and he had to act before it came. He had to believe God. There was no evidence that he could look around and say, oh, I see the water, you know, pouring down the hill. If he had waited until that point, it would have been too late to build the ark. He had to believe God before he could see the evidence of it happening. Before he could see the flood, he had to begin to build the ark. It says, Noah, and this is by faith, of course, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You know, he was righteous. He walked with God. He had faith. He did what God said. Lesson 13, it says this, many arduous and trying years were required to complete the ark. You know, it didn't just happen again in a couple of weeks or months. It took a long time to build the ark. He had to really stick with it. It says the pre-flood world had about a century to repent of its sins before God sent this worldwide deluge. And you can compare Genesis 5:32 with Genesis 7 and verse 11 to see that. So, you know, Noah didn't just start out strong, you know, and have faith for a couple of days. He had to do it for years and years and years. He was building that ark, preparing it, fearing God, having faith, walking with God daily, and sticking with it. It says, God provided a way for Noah and his family to escape the old world of sin and the penalty it had incurred for disobedience to God. Noah believed God when he warned of the flood, and Noah obeyed God by building the ark. He demonstrated his faith by his obedience. See, that's a key point. How did Noah walk by faith? Well, he demonstrated his faith by his obedience. Simply, he did what God said. He followed God's instructions. It says, this is the same kind of active, living faith God requires of us today. See, we don't want to have a dead faith where we just say we believe God, but then we don't really act according to God's law. We want to have a living faith. That's what God requires. It's active, it's living, and it directs our path. So if God says, do this, we do that. That's what Noah did. And the Bible is full of a lot of instructions to guide us and to teach us and to show us what to do. Noah believed God and he acted according to his directions and he did what God told him to do. Notice James 2. James 2 talks about faith here a little bit. And I think with this history of Noah and what he did, this passage in James 2 will be even clearer to us. You know, we want to think about these things correctly and have it be as practical as possible in our minds. Words like faith can become a bit ambiguous sometimes because it's used a lot, but we have to understand it and understand what it means to have faith, and we see from Noah a great example of that. James 2, verses 17 through 26. And we can think about Noah as we read this and think about ourselves. Verse 17, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. You know, just consider Noah again. If he had said, okay, you know, I believe God, but I'm not going to do anything about it. Well, that would be a dead faith, wouldn't it? There wouldn't be any faith-filled works, so it wouldn't be of any value. Verse 18, yes, a man may say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. That's what Noah did. He showed his faith by his works. How do we know that Noah had faith? Well, he built an ark when God told him to, and he built it the way that God instructed him. So we don't have to question if he had faith or not. We see that he had faith by his works. Verse 19, it says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. The devils also believe and tremble. So he's giving us some perspective here. I mean, believing in God's a good thing for sure, but, you know, Satan believes in God, sort of the demons. But they don't have faith. They won't listen to what God says. They won't do it. Verse 20, but will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? It's not enough just to say we believe God. Our works have to show that we do. Verse 21, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? That's another lesson we can learn. We didn't get into that history today, but you can study into that. Verse 22, see you how faith wrought with his works, and by works his faith was made perfect. So again, it's talking about Abraham there and offering Isaac. We can think back to Noah as well. His works made his faith perfect. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Right? So, I mean, Noah, he walked with God. He did what God said. It was the same with Abraham. Verse 24, you see then, when you look at this history, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Yeah, right? Noah did what God instructed, and it literally saved his life. We need to do what God instructs. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We need to believe God and act according to what he says. That's living faith. If you'd like to learn more, please sign up for the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thank you for spending some of your time with me. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.